Chapter 15. Spoiler and Predictions. A Court of Rust and Starlight by Sarah J. Maas. The war has ended, and now all that is left are the characters and what they have gone through. Join us in this chapter where we explore the many ways they choose to heal and what will happen to them in the next book, now that the dust has settled. Or has it? My name is Haneen. Turn the page.
Welcome to another chapter of Between the Pages. My name is Nesma.
And my name is Haneen.
And we are here today with Akufas, which is short for A Court of Rust and Starlight. I mean, you probably already know that, so...
Duh.
That's why you're here, because this is a spoiler slash prediction episode.
Yeah. Like, we're going to talk about what's happening in Akufas and what would
happen.
That lead.
Yeah.
What would that might...
What might
lead to.
Practice your English. You've been in quarantine for long. You
true,
need to be
true.
More updated.
Or
with your
we
language.
Haven't been speaking for long.
Yes. Okay, so first things first, what I want to say broadly about the book mm-hmm. is that it was a bit slow paced, you know? Maybe because there wasn't much happening. It was just about the characters recovering from the war. And it was more like their personal experiences of what they've gone through. And like healing processes of Farah with her art. And like those who have PTSD equals Nesta.
N-E-S-T-A.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's more of that. And it's all going towards solstice.
Yes.
I like the vibe. Like, when I was reading the book, it wasn't Christmas or anything, but it was so cold. The weather was so cold. So I was like, I'm in the vibe, you know?
Yeah. You know, the fun fact about Akufas is that the first cover that I ever saw from this series was Akufas, okay? And I loved the cover of the series. I think it was when you and Selma ordered Akufas, I was like, ooh, what are you guys reading? And it was like the last
book yeah.
of them all. And I was like, wait, no, I have to read all of these to get to the pretty cover? I remember pretty bummed out by that, but you know, I made it.
Here you are.
Yay. Here we are. Okay, so let's go into the characters. Who would you like to start with?
The city of Velaris.
Ooh, that's not a character, but sure, okay.
Well, is it not?
The city of Velaris?
It's a setting, yes.
Yes, it's a setting, yeah.
But it's so, like, so much a part of the characters.
Yeah, know? Yeah, that's
everyone so has their favorite place. Everyone has their place where they feel at peace or have a certain memory.
Yeah.
Like with Feyre and her art with, what was it? Palace of the Rainbow. The Rainbow.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, the, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rhys, I guess, and the river. And I like how Sarah
connected everything.
Yes, and made the city so much like capital, I think. Like Cairo here with the Nile, London with the Thames, Paris with the Seine, Velaris with the Sidra, you know? With like this vibe of city goers and art places and galleries and restaurants.
That's something
bridges.
We got a feel of a lot more in this novella.
Oh,
it's because it was so city-oriented of what the city offers and where do we live and, like, the bad places where you don't usually go to and, like...
Yeah.
And it's, like, every city has that. Like, they have, like, the prosperous part of the city and, like, the...
The slums.
The slums. All part of one history, one place, and one identity, I guess. Yeah.
And Sarah, like, had this conversations in... She wrote conversations in different parts
of the city. Yeah.
Like Reese with Moore when he was talking about what she would do next.
Yeah.
I don't know. Farah and her
gallery.
The other artists.
Yeah.
Casey and Nesta in the street and after when he went after her on solstice.
You just reminded me of how I loved Risa and Farah and how they walked down the street together hand in hand. I was like, wow, wait, they can actually do that? I know they're like royalty or something, like kind of like that, but they're like, they're acting like they're commoners and like they're part of the city and they just
and they're
walk
enjoying
around.
The smiles of their citizens and like
I know,
and people don't freak out, it's like normal to them, you
know? Exactly.
And when they fly over the city, that's what they do something. I've been gazing at birds for a while. I like whenever I see a bird, I like keep looking at it.
So
like,
that's what Resand would look like, but bigger.
And I'm like, I'm so envious. I'm so jealous of you, bird. You have wings. But I mean, like, yeah, my point with birds and wings is that you can go anywhere with your wings. Like, there is no security checks or passport checks, like borders or anything. You can fly anywhere. Like, nobody would look at that bird. You're not Egyptian, are you?
You know? You don't belong here. Go back to where you came from.
That wouldn't happen. I think I relate wings to freedom. Yeah.
Yeah. That's such a nice image.
Yeah.
I mean, it's natural, but yeah. So another thing that I tried to... I couldn't never imagine going through this. The fact that if the book hadn't come out yet and I had to wait for the novella, that's something... Oh my God.
Oh, Anessa.
I can't imagine... I can't imagine the agony of having to go through something like that.
It was agony. I know the story has ended with Court of Wings and Ruin. Like, I had an ending, it's fine. But, like, knowing you could have more of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see them.
I mean, we have so many special moments. Especially with the one where Reese and Farah decide to have a baby. Oh. I mean, come on, you know me. You know how long I've wanted for that to happen.
And then,
I kept telling her, I remember like when I still was reading the books, is Farah going to be pregnant in Akomath? No, Nesma. Is she going to be pregnant in Akowar? No, Nesma. Is she going to be pregnant in Arkofas? No, still a no, Nesma. But
you were pretty excited about the idea. I didn't think about it like when I was reading the books.
This is the first time that I've wanted something like this to happen. Like, usually when we have characters like that, we want them to go slow, you know? Like, we don't want anything bad happen to them. But really, Reese and Farah gave off just like a baby vibe. I don't know why. There was something about them where it's like, just please have a baby. Please,
you know,
for the good of everyone.
I think after I read Echo Fast, I continued on reading the other series, Throne of Glass. Throne of Glass.
Yeah.
I was at the last book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if that would be a spoiler, but there was this moment where Aelin was tumbling through worlds and she's through Farah and Reese's world.
Yes, you told me about that scene. Yes, yes. Wait, that could be a spoiler for those who...
But I didn't say when was happening.
Oh, okay, fine.
Why is she tumbling through
worlds? Yeah, right.
Anyway,
okay.
So yeah, so she sees like two fairies, a male and a female, and he's like standing behind her and putting his hands
on her
pregnant
belly.
Around her pregnant belly.
Yes.
And then he sends a night power or like night kiss power or something that slows her down. So like he sort of saves her. Like imagine Reese saving
someone out of in the middle of the air.
Yeah, in another world, you know. He has that. What if he appears in our world or has an effect on our world?
I hate to break it to you, but
what?
They're never mind. Never mind, Hanin.
Don't you dare tell me they're fictional. All the stories are true. I believe they exist somewhere.
In your head. That's where they exist, honey.
That is somewhere.
All right, fine.
I mean, I live in my head more than I live in the real world, so.
Fine. Okay. They're real, honey. I'm sorry.
Yes, they're real. Otherwise, why are we talking about them?
Good point. Didn't think about that.
Okay, so what is happening with Reese and Feyre in Aquafas?
Okay, there's a lot happening. There's a lot of overprotection from Reese. It's like a whole, like, I hate everyone except you, my darling.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of didn't like that about Reese. It's like kind of anyone who harmed you is like
off. He's putting her above all and like.
I know. But it's like, it's reasonable for him to do that. But I felt like he should tone it down a little. Like, tone it down a notch.
It was toned down before. That didn't change. Like, him holding her above others and, like, wanting her to have her worth and, like...
No, that one I agree with. But the fact that I won't forgive anyone who tried to hurt you or...
Cross you.
It's like, okay, the world isn't black and white.
That was there before as well. But it's different here.
Right?
He's different.
Thank you. I'm like, I'm not alone in this.
Even with Tamlin, like, we know Farrah's standing with Tamlin, you know? Like, where she is.
Like, it has nothing to do with
Reese. Feelings about Tamlin. But Reese, something is off. Why is he so defensive and
why is he so close-minded
and aggressive about Tamlin? Here he was open-minded before about Tamlin. He told Feyre to, like, he didn't ask her to forgive him, and that's part of it. Okay, and I admired that about him, but he didn't like have an outright opinion about it. It was like Feyre's choice to do with Tamlin whatever she wants. Now
it's like, because you hate him, I hate him, you know? Kind of like that. But it's like, there's something weird and off about Reese that I can't put my finger on, you know?
In that area.
But other than that, Reese is fine, you know? Like, something else to comment on is, what's up with the third person narrative? I'm sorry, but personally, I am so annoyed by the third person narrative. It's like I'm reading about Reese in first person and Feyre in first person, and then I'm more Cassian. They're in third person. Why? They deserve the first person. I guess it's like maybe it's like her way of distancing herself from. Cassian and more, like, this is her way of saying maybe there won't be chapters like this again in the next novel. Maybe it will only be Feyre and Reese. Like, that's my only interpretation of why she would use.
Hopefully there is more recent chapters, which we get confused with as well.
Oh my god.
We're like, wait, what is that? Oh, it's recent. Okay.
I know, it's so funny. Like, there were some times where I was reading and thought it was Feyre, but everything that's being said doesn't match up with her. So I'm like, wait, what am I reading right now? Oh, Reese-end.
Yeah.
And then again, the same thing happens with Feyre. I think he's Reese, so it's like, what's going on?
I remember. Anyway, you know, I like to see the positive side of things. So imagine that Reese and Feyre telling us about Cassian and Mor and Nesta. in their chapters, you know? Oh,
you think it's from narrated by them?
Yeah. That would be interesting.
That's an interesting point of view, but the problem is when I read, I don't read in their voices, I read in my own. So when I read in third person, it's my own voice. When I read first person, it's their voice.
Why so, isn't it Sarah's voice?
Sarah J. Maas's voice? Yeah. I guess it's a personal preference of what you do in your head. It's all the same voice, technically.
Okay, I see. I asked a stupid question.
You're allowed to do that from once in a while. Just, you know.
Okay, good. I wanted to go, like, I wouldn't say a step back, but like, yeah. During the war and before the war, what happened with Vasa, Lucian, and like...
Jurian.
And Jurian.
Yeah.
Like, what was happening to them? And Vasa, what's her story? Yes, she was cursed. She was sold out by the other queens. Blah, 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 blah. But I wanted a story there. How is she that connected to Lucian? And Eris is another story. Like, Eris has a history that, like, I feel will affect everything later on. With the Court of Dreams in general.
Yeah.
With Autumn, of course. Like, if they go through with their agreement with him of, like, getting rid of Baron and, like, making him High Lord, where would that dynamic lead to, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm wondering, are we going to get a backstory? Like...
For Lucian?
For Lucian, Eris, Vasa, Jurian.
Like, I'm hoping we will.
Like, how would that be written, do you think? Like,
Probably another novella. So maybe we would have...
It wouldn't be in a book, yeah.
So maybe we would have the next book coming out, and then after that, a novella, maybe? But then we're gonna jump back again, you know? Like, stuff will happen in the next book. Why would we go back? So I'm guessing that we won't get what you're asking for.
But I think it won't be printed.
Maybe she'll post something like that online as an ebook, but it won't be printed, I think. Maybe. There are books like... I'm pretty sure this series isn't very, very well known, but there's the Endgame series. It has like a prequel, which came out recently, like last year or the year before that, I think. And it's only in ebook. It's not. Doesn't exist in
physical.
In physical form, as a hard copy, soft copy. So maybe that's an option. I mean, I'm hoping for the same thing, that we receive some kind of backstory, you know, because there's a huge gap. If she is going to continue with their story, like, till now, we know nothing. They're in the background, so...
Yes, yes, they are in the background.
So she'll either keep them in the background, or she'll bring them forth and give their own chapters, for example.
You know why I want to know Eris's story, especially... Wow. I don't know. I feel like I need to believe in him, because I feel like he's going to do good. He has something good in him. But also, I think he's going to heal more, in a way. Like, if more knew the backstory
of Eris,
the reasons, like, Rhys did terrible things, and he had a reason, and everyone loves him for it. But what if Eris is the same, in a way?
Yeah, maybe he had to do those things. And she was just, like, collateral damage, you know?
And that, in that way, knowing his story would be a kind of apology.
Yes.
It kind of would give closure to more, I think. And Asriel, and...
Yes.
I don't know.
Wow. No, I think that will happen, inshallah, in the future.
Yeah.
Let's hope that will happen, so...
Okay, so that's Eris and Moor. Let's do predictions.
Wait, no. Mm. There's more. Let's talk about the Band of Exiles. Like, what is up with that? I loved the fact that they named themselves. And the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that, I was like, wait, isn't that like the Three Musketeers? Kind of like one for all and all for one? Isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I'm expecting a band or something. In that sense, like a trio. The
Band of Exiles.
The Band of Exiles.
So dramatic, Lucian.
I know, right?
And okay, so the Band of Exiles has a queen that needs a curse to be lifted. Mm-hmm. Has Jurien, who's resurrected, and like he has a purpose, of course, to like continue in with the peace, defend the humans. That. But does he have a life? And
not Lucian, necessarily, yeah.
And Lucian, who abandoned Spring because of all that has happened, mm-hmm. was driven away from home, the Autumn Court, and can't find the place in the Court of Dreams.
He doesn't feel reason. Like he belongs, yeah. You know?
He has a mate that he can't have yet.
Or will ever have.
Yeah, we're hoping she goes with Azriel.
Yes, we're hoping they're
okay. They're so gonna be. I have thoughts about them, like for the future, as predictions. Okay, so maybe the way to lift a curse off Vasa is to make her immortal.
Who?
Vasa, the queen, the Phoenix okay. Queen. Okay, so she becomes immortal. And she and Lucian has a thing.
Have a thing?
Yeah.
That just crossed my mind when you said Vasa and Lucian and like Jurien.
Yeah.
Were like.
Or she, the curse, like they find a way and the curse is lifted and she makes Jurien her king and like they're both human. But that would leave Lucian to whom?
To no one.
That's sad. Oh, yes, I remember. No, not to like a mate, not to his mate, of course, and not in relationship, but I have another theory about Lucian. He knows about his real father, and that gives him somewhere to belong to and like a new purpose and life in a new court.
Wow, that's good.
Where he has a position yes. and power and
yes.
maybe becomes more like has more hand in the rebuilding of the world mm-hmm. and like that with his position as the
that
heir
is good that and sounds logical so mm-hmm. I think that's actually gonna happen, like I feel like that could happen. And Jurien and Vasa kind of like that, I can see that happening as well because they're both human. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think Vasa and Lucian are gonna be a thing. I don't think that's
they're such good friends. I think yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think maybe Lucian is still going to pine after Elaine for a little while and he's going to try. And like for Elaine, I feel like the longer we give her time, the better she's going to heal and the more she's going to be open for something new. Okay. Mm. Because right now she's still grieving. Okay.
Yeah. Her lost life. Yes.
And the only person who she's truly connecting with is Azriel. Who's like not pushing her to be with him
At but all. He's still, there for he's her. Still preoccupied with more. So
no, I don't think so. No, I think that ship has sailed.
No.
More still?
Yeah.
No, I mean, don't think so. Mm-mm. I think he's shifted to Elaine already.
No, not shifted completely. More will always be a thing. Like, he's been after her for, like, hundreds of years. That won't go away in a year. I have a thing for the three of them as well. Like, okay, so let's say
More isn't right for any of them.
Yes, wait. Let's say More comes out, okay, as gay. And that shocks Azriel and hurts him very much. The repercussions were anticipating, okay? Or More is anticipating. Mm-hmm. Elaine helps him heal. Hmm. He helps her heal from her lost life. They become together. Or Elaine helps him heal and they become good friends. And he helps her adjust to fail life, and she finds herself able to accept the mating bond with Lucian. Whatever happens, like, I'm being objective here, you know? There is tracks of events that might happen.
But I don't know. I think, like, there were, like, hints for Azriel where he's, like, totally into Elaine.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them, and it's
like
amazing.
when he made everyone wait at the table for Elaine to get dressed and come down and eat with them.
And like Rhys is like, don't ask.
Don't ask.
Yes, yeah. And the way he's really connected to her and understands her, and like he's always there to catch her in a way. Like
Yes. And I think they always would be watching so and good listening for each other. And... Okay, but hear me out. With the other perspective of when we have Elaine healing and getting a better grip of herself and like seeing, experimenting maybe, like seeing what she wants and what she likes, is that maybe when Lucian comes again, like maybe he gives her like a month or like 2 months, maybe even three to give her space. And then he comes again and like tries to court her. Again, like for the very last time, maybe he sees her doing well, so maybe he gives it another shot. And so I feel like maybe there would be like, maybe Lucian is the right guy for me. Maybe he is my mate. I mean, he is my mate for a reason, so maybe it's the universe telling me that this is my person.
Yeah.
But
she
still has feelings for Azriel, so I think... She'd have like a...
The conflict life or love choosing, triangle.
Yeah. But I think she would still choose Azriel. Like, I don't think Lucian is the right guy for her. I don't personally think he is.
Hmm.
Like, there's something about him that doesn't match with... Like, even the fact that he still wants to be near her when he knows that's not the right thing to do at the moment. I know with mates, it's different. It's like this animal instinct. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to be with her, you know? Like, something like that, okay? And you can't turn that off, you know? It's like, I want to get to know her. I need to know her. It's like this pull, this, like, gravity towards each other.
Yeah.
But the fact that Elaine isn't... in the mood or in the right headspace right now to explore something like that. So I feel like he should understand. He shouldn't be upset about it.
I guess Feyre and Rhys tried to hint that to him at the beginning. Yeah. But then we established he's not Rhys and no one is Rhys. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe Tamlin would come into that dynamic as well. But before we go to Tamlin, I have one more thing about Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that other than the unrest in Illyria, Elaine would prophesize and the other threat, you know, that would come in the next books.
Ooh.
You know, that it would start with this, like...
Okay, like the first chapters, there'll be like a threat coming?
Yes, and Elaine would see that, like her power would sort of come back or something. And I don't know how would that be like. The world is still like not stable. Would that happen before the world stabilizes or after? Would that mess everything up again? Do we want that? If everything settles down, where is the story? You know,
I know.
I'm trying to mess this up so there is something to go after, you know?
I know. Yeah, I mean, personally, what I think would be interesting is if we put Feyre in danger. You know, again, I know this is going to be like all
but
over again,
no,
but the fact I think it's going to be something.
Going to have a child, so
I
don't know.
Which is going to make it even more like, oh my God, we need to protect her. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
Like something
you're
like she's going to be even more fragile, more, and it's like going to be this, going to go against her feminist ideas of like idealistic, like things like, no, I want to fight. I want to be part of this. I want to be Mishad Fa'i, and it's not going to happen. Like this is maybe the first time where Rhys will have to tell her, no, you sit this one out, sweetie. You know?
Yeah, who knows?
Something like that. I don't know. So there's one more important character that I think I want to talk about is Nesta. Oh my God. Okay, Nesta is a pretty difficult character in this novella. I think we've already established that. So,
I think she's the conflict in the novella.
Right?
Yeah.
We can get to that. So, the one thing that I struggled with in this novella was trying to understand Nesta as a person. Why is she doing what she's doing? Like, why, where does her motivation come from of wanting to be apart from her family and away from it all? Like, not even in, like, a separate apartment where she can live in a clean space and with clean clothes and everything. And she refuses all of that. So I came up with an idea of what might be the reason for that. So this was something that I had in mind for her character, is that Nesta wants to be left alone, okay? For whatever reason, we still don't know exactly why she wants to be left alone. Like, there's no apparent reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just the fact that she is so angry, maybe, about her father dying and not being able to do anything about it. Like, not being able to save him.
Okay, or so it's the about fact, her father. Okay.
Or the fact that Elaine is getting more and more like them, so she doesn't feel like Elaine is part of, like, her side anymore, so she feels, like, left alone. So, and maybe when she feels completely alone, she isolates herself even more. So the fact that, oh, you don't choose my side? Fine, I'll pick my own and I'll get out of your way. Something like that, okay? But then again, we come back to the idea of why would she choose to live in, like, a dirty area and with, like, the common people, you know? Why would she not just accept the money from her family and live in a better apartment? Where Reese offered her several times to live in a better place, didn't
he? She is proud.
She refused it. I know she's proud, but the fact is, you can live alone, but you don't need to do this to yourself. So I thought this was maybe some kind of way for her to repel people off of her, you know? If she's not as aesthetically pleasing like the others, maybe they'd leave her alone. Maybe if she was such bad company, they wouldn't want to be around her. So it's like this defense mechanism, you know? That's what I could come up with. I wrote down, and the reason why she chose those filthy places is because she thinks the filthier, the less likely they are to follow her, because she knows no one wants to see her in those conditions. By definition, Nesta has hit rock bottom. And she chose to, like, this is by her own choice.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't drive her away.
They didn't. They want her to be there. So I think, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind with Nesta is, you know, the saying, misery likes company? And this is what Nesta is doing. She's literally surrounding herself with misery because she feels miserable. So
maybe that's what she feels she deserves, you know?
Exactly. Maybe she's kind of punishing herself in a way. I don't know.
And okay, she's punishing herself. They're letting her do it, though they don't like it, until the sneak peek we got into the next book.
Yes, where they send her to the camp. You know?
Yeah. They pull her out, literally.
Yeah.
And of course, she's gonna fight. Like, that's
with Nesta, she was kind of hard to unravel because there's nothing I can hold on to. Really? Like, she's a provocative character by nature.
Yes.
You know? So this isn't really unlike Nesta.
But it's unlike her because she put herself in conditions that are so against her values.
Yeah.
Her human values, even. Yeah, she's healing herself. We see that when we read about how she made herself take a bath step by step on her own.
I think it's kind of a form of depression, maybe.
Yeah. One thing I keep wondering about, actually, is she in love with Cassian?
It doesn't feel like it, right?
Yeah.
I feel like she needs a push. She's right. Not there yet, but they had a moment in the war. Like, what happened, Nesta?
Exactly. What happened? This is so against fairy tale standards.
Like, right?
In every fairy tale, when there is this moment of danger and professing of feelings and love, and after that, when there is no danger, you cling to each other. Why is she doing the opposite?
Maybe she regretted what she did. Maybe they weren't true feelings. They were just like moments of, oh my God, we're going to die, so I have to say something. I don't know. It's something weird. Like, Nesta, I can't read her. Like, yeah. She's one of those characters I don't know. I don't understand her.
She is puzzling, yes.
Like, this is the first time I stand in front of a character and I can't analyze them. Like, I literally had to come up with something to get to this theory, you know?
Hmm.
It's pretty frustrating. Nesta. But which makes her a very interesting character, you know? It's like, what is going on in the inside her head, you know? Like,
and that's what we want to read the next books for, I think.
Yeah.
Like, of course, we want more of recent Feyre.
Yeah.
Like, the baby and the world stabilizing. Oh, Nesta.
The baby!
But also Nesta and Cassie and Azriel and Elaine, we want to see where this would go. Lucian,
yes.
Eris as well. And I want to see Kier dead, actually.
You want to see him die?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it for you.
What's his use?
He doesn't have a function so far. Yeah. They only needed him for the war. And now that the war's over, what's your purpose?
Exactly. Why are you there?
Why are you here?
Look, that leads me to one of my predictions of... like, we see it happening, simmering there, but I think it's gonna turn into something. Feyre and Rhys are going to have an uprising on their hands from the Illyrians and Night Court. I don't know.
I think you're right about that, with the Illyrians especially, because we already had conflicts with them during this novella, so it's like a hint of they're trying to calm them down and trying to bring them on their side again. But this is, I think it's going to escalate, maybe. And the problem is that they're sending Nesta into that. So what's going to happen with that?
You can't sweet talk them.
No, you
so
can't.
So you don't need more or no. Rhys or I don't know. Mm-mm. No, Rhys wouldn't sweet talk them.
Maybe Nesta will calm them down.
Yes, Nesta will scare them. These are people that follow fear. They do things out of fear, I think.
Yeah.
Everything they do. Like, they're suppressing of their women.
I think this is going to be so interesting to see what happens with Nesta in the Illyrian camp. I think it's going to be so good for her, but it's going to be so bad for them.
And it's going to be so fun entertaining. For us. Yes, so entertaining to us. And like... The Illyrians seeing Cassian and Nesta interact.
Yes.
They would be, oh, hi, Lord. Please. For you. You
put us out of our misery. Yeah. All we have to do every day is hear Nesta and Cassian bicker about the smallest things. We can't do this anymore.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. There was another idea that I had in mind for Cassian and Nesta, but I know this is just like... Okay, this isn't a prediction. This is an expectation. More like it. I think I told you about it before, and you didn't react very well to this idea, is that Cassian is going to find someone else, and this is going to spark jealousy in Nesta. And it's either going to backfire, where she's going to lose interest completely in Cassian because he's not chasing after her anymore. Or it's going to motivate her to gain Cassian back. Like, she sees them together and then she notices, oh, I actually don't like this. I actually don't like him being with someone else, you know? And it's like maybe going to spark some feelings and emotions for Cassian. Because I think the only reason for Nesta to do something about Cassian, either taking him or not taking him, is if he actually pursues another relationship. You know, that's when you truly realize if you have feelings for that person or not, you know?
Okay.
Do you get jealous or not? You know?
Yeah.
If you don't get jealous, then fine. This is not the relationship for you, I guess. You should find someone else. But
I guess I didn't react well the last time is because you said Cassian would find a mate.
Oh, I said that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's why I didn't react well.
Okay, fine. Okay, because you're still hoping.
That would be messed up.
Because you're still hoping for their mating bond to snap. Okay, maybe it will happen another way. Maybe Nesta will still be the messy person she is. So maybe she will sleep with like couple of Illyrian warriors, and Cassian will get even more jealous and more upset about it. And I don't know what will happen. The problem is she doesn't react very well when Cassian is jealous. So what I'm expecting is that Nesta will become jealous.
What if the mating bond
snaps,
but only Nesta feels it? Like, now she's the one who has the need to go after him? Cassian. Yes, and now he's playing hard to get. That would be so fun.
Okay, yeah. We'll see. Like, generally, anything that will happen with Cassian and Nesta will be entertaining, whether or not there's jealousy or mating bond. I think it will just be so fun to read. Yeah, but true. But still, I will only accept one outcome where they end up together.
Yes.
Like, if,
amen
if
to that.
They don't end up together, then I'm sorry. I'm disappointed in you, Sarah J. Maas.
Should no, we can't be.
No, I mean, I meant it as a joke. I could never be disappointed. This is the kind of story, anyway, where everyone will come out alive and happy. So, no one has died.
Don't jinx it.
Right, I shouldn't.
Okay, so I want Imran and Varian as well to have, like, more of a stable relationship, I guess. Mm-hmm. They were good in Aquafas. I mean, like,
Amran and who?
Varian.
Oh, Varian.
The prince of the summer court.
Yes.
What if he moves into Velaris? And that would create a link between summer and night again. And we'd see that wrong-righted, I think, or something.
I like that idea.
Yeah, so that would be the link between summer and night. Night and day, day is Lucian's father. I don't remember his name now. Helion, yes. Mm-hmm. That would be the connection. Feyre's friendship with Lucian meeting his father. And anyway, they're connected, aslan, the two courts.
Okay.
What else with the other courts? Autumn would be with Eris, I think. Mm-hmm. They would come through with their agreement. Though, I still don't know Rhys's feelings about this. I don't know if he's happy about it. Like, he wants to give Eris the throne or not. What else? The other court. Winter, they're friends. Dawn, they're friends. So, now remains spring.
Oh. Which is the key word for Tamlin. Poor Tamlin. Okay. So there's a lot to talk about Tamlin with from what happened in the novella and what will happen to him later on. Okay, so first of all, I didn't like Rhys's treatment towards Tamlin.
Merely, me neither.
Merely because I could understand Tamlin's perspective of what he's going through, and you shouldn't beat someone who's already down.
Like,
you know?
Lucian said, yes. And so, I felt for Tamlin again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being with Rhys there,
yeah,
seeing Tamlin in that state, Rhys knows deep down that he should be above this. He should extend a helping hand.
Yes.
Or something.
Why the hell didn't he do that? Like, we know Rhys is the better person. We know Rhys is the guy Feyre chose. So why do this? You already won. Why beat him down? I don't understand. What is he getting out of this? Only to feed his own ego. But we know Rhys isn't the kind of,
like,
guy
this.
Who needs to feed his ego. So,
like,
what the hell was
when
that?
When he appeared to feed his ego before, or, like, be like this, was when he was under Amarantha's thumb, when he was trying to appear like that.
But when he was at the a court of Thorns and Roses, when he just popped up, kid out of nowhere, and he kept teasing everyone, and, like, you know.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember that.
And that was the kind of Rhys that we saw right now in this novella.
And we were in his head.
Exactly. Like, so we saw what he was doing and we knew he felt bad about it, but he did it anyway. Oh, Reese. You need some working on your character. Maybe that's what happened to you when you died. You became a bad person. Oh, no, I mean, look, we can understand both situations, okay? But it was unlike Reese to do that. And I didn't feel like that was necessary to do.
Mm.
He should have had sympathy for the guy, not pity, okay? Tamlin doesn't need pity. He needs just someone to be there for him.
Yeah, he doesn't need pity. He shouldn't be pitied, Ashen. He's not the best person ever. Like, yeah.
He should just have someone in his corner because there's no one left.
But Lucien is trying and he's pushing him away.
Lucien is the wrong guy for that.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my theory.
Go ahead. I can't wait for you guys to hear this.
Okay, so the perspective with Tamlin is now in reverse, okay? If we still refer to the Beauty and the Beast theme, then Tamlin has ended up alone, miserable and defeated, like the Beast at the very beginning of the fairy tale. So...
Mm-hmm.
We're starting the fairy tale all over again. So what happened in A Court of Thorns and Roses wasn't the story.
Mm.
The story will still happen with
like
Tamlin.
Before we read that post where Tamlin is Gaston.
Yes.
Because Beauty knew him before the Beast and Gaston was arrogant and patriarchic and like had the traits Tamlin has. And then Reese is the Beast where he got the Beauty and yeah, you know the rest.
But now...
Tamlin gets to wear the hat of the Beast.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
But now we think that Farrah might be the witch who helped... You know when the Beast had the stray morals and he was bad to everyone and he was just a bad person with like stray morals and that was it basically. Yes. And someone needed to put him in his place, okay? And that's what happened to the Beast in the fairy tale. He was left all alone in a deserted castle, empty spring court. No one left to serve him. He does everything on his own. Okay, in the fairy tale, we have the teacup and the Shafi'i and everything. and the Lumiere.
Monsieur Lumiere.
But we don't have these now. So he's left all alone. So what I think is that Farrah is the witch, Tamlin is now the Beast, which means the Beauty is still coming.
Yes! Which you see it now, guys.
The right person for Tamlin wasn't Farrah. We know that already. So he will still find his person, and that person will be his mate. Inshallah.
Yes.
Hope so.
Hopefully. And now Prithian will be saved because every entry or like he's at the border between the humans and Prithian.
Yes.
So he will get his shit together so that things will be stabilized.
Exactly.
Down there Durian like doing his work with his band of exiles and
I think we know that Tamlin has done very, very bad things and he will pay for them. And he already has in a way. So when his mate will come into the picture, he will be fixed and he will be a better person. He will heal. And then Farrah and Reese, Farrah herself, forget about Reese. He's not even in the picture of this. Farrah will heal from that past experience. Maybe she will no longer even hate him. Maybe Tamlin will even come to her face to face and tell her a big, big, big apology. Like,
yes.
What I did wasn't in the right mind. I was pining for something that wasn't even mine to begin with.
I was projecting this on you. And
like, when I was in a very bad place, I was like having my own personal problem. I want there to be like a whole chapter where they talk to each other like normal human beings
and clear the air, because once upon a time they were friends.
They
and
loved
once
each
upon
other.
A time Reese and Tamlin were friends.
Yeah.
And I think like immortal
that maybe
life
that
is too
again.
Long for them to stay this way. They need to patch things up so
exactly. So I really think a mate will come into the picture. This is an expectation and a prediction at the same time. Yeah. So This was my idea. I hope you guys are thrilled like I am. And I about have, the baby.
When Nisma told me this, she blew my mind. I was, wow.
Yay.
Now you're the master of predictions.
The student becomes the master. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. But you guys, we want to hear your predictions as well. Send us by email to betweenpages9798@gmail.com. And we really want to know what you guys think as well will happen in the next books. Is there a date?
No.
Nothing?
No.
No?
She was busy with Crescent City.
Oh. Well, that's sad.
Hmm.
Anyway, I think we've covered everything.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you in the comments on Instagram, on Facebook, wherever you follow us. Like Nisma said, on our email.
Yeah. And we'll share your predictions as well in the next one and see who was right.
Who was right. That would be such fun.
That needs a whole episode on its own.
And I guess we'll do something on Crescent City when we get it, hopefully one day.
Oh my god, you have no idea. I want to read it so badly.
Me too.
So badly. Like, now. Someone get it for me now. Yeah. See you guys in chapter 16. Imagine me. Yay! Right?
Yeah?
Well, Avlios.
No, Avlios, badi.
Avlios Badi, huh? Yes, next time is Imagine Me. Woohoo! Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Yeah. All right. Still have how many days till the release?
Which still gives you guys time to go back to our other episodes where we talk about Restore Me, Defy Me, and Find Me with predictions for Imagine Me.
Yeah, go do that. So, like, refresh your memory and
get
like into if you get any predictions or ideas, share them with us.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear it.
All right, see you in chapter 16. Bye. Thank you for making it to the end of this chapter. Sadly, this was the last book we will talk about in the ACOTAR series until the next books come out. Of course, we can't wait to see if our predictions are right. For next chapter, chapter 16, we will talk about the last novel in the Shatter Me series, Imagine Me. We post every second Monday. My name is Nesma. Mark the page for chapter 16.